Welcome to the Dirty Heifers Podcast, soap making, small business, and so much more. Let's get dirty. Welcome back to the Dirty Heifers Podcast, the show where three small business owners get real about the highs, lows, and downright dirty parts of running a handmade business. Today's episode is sponsored by Country Lather Soapworks, your go-to for gorgeous handcrafted soap with southern charm. Head on over to countrylathersw.com to support our very own southern heifer, Jesse. This week, we're diving into something that can make or break your business, pricing. Whether you're just starting out or you've been at it a while, pricing can feel like a guessing game. Are you charging too little, too much? Are you even making a profit? But first, let's kick things off with everyone's favorite segment, the word of the week. Jesse, I hope you're ready, because this week's word is a juicy one, and it ties directly into our topic.
It's moist.
It is not moist. Actually, I went a little bit different this week. I kind of thought maybe we were getting a little bit too silly or whatever, so I figured maybe we'll just throw out a word there, plus I didn't have time to think of anything else. So I'm breaking the rules by having it's two words today, but they're easy words, but they have to do with today's topic. I think it's
perceived
an important part.
Perceived value.
Right, perceived value.
I reckon it's what somebody thinks it costs, or what it should cost.
Okay, so that's what I'm thinking. If I say something like, I raised the price of my soaps, and suddenly they started selling faster, that's the value of, that's perceived value, right? Okay, so let's break down what goes into pricing, why it's more than just math, and how to stop undervaluing yourself and your work, because perceived value is a perfect fit, because pricing isn't always about cost, it's about what people believe your product is worth. You get it?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
All right. So, do you guys have anything to say before I start jumping in with all my notes?
Oh, we've got to do the redneck word of the day.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Y'all may have heard me say this one, but I really don't think y'all have. So, today's redneck word is skidded.
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 Is that what you leave in your underwear when you had a
boo-boo? Did you two just switch roles?
You got to be honest. It would not be a surprise if Jesse brought a word like that in.
Right. I know. But,
Believe it or not, it has nothing to do with skid marks.
All right. I'm going to say it's... it's something like if I forgot something at home, you might say, all right, let's skid it.
No, would you like me to use it in a sentence, though?
Yes.
Yes.
Imagine I'm talking to Dolly, and there's a squirrel in a tree. Dolly, skid it.
So it's get it.
Okay. So it's go get it, right?
Mm-hmm. Skid.
For those people who don't know, when Jesse says, imagine I'm talking to Dolly, my first instinct is to imagine she's just having a conversation with Dolly Parton, because of course, in my head, she's Southern. Of course, somebody's calling, you know, she's talking about Dolly. It has to be Dolly Parton. It took me a minute to realize she's talking about her dog named Dolly.
Yeah, she would tell Dolly Parton to go up in the tree and get a squirrel.
She said, Dolly, go get that squirrel.
You said Dolly, and then you said there's a squirrel in the tree. And I'm like, well, when I was at Dollywood, there was a lot of trees there. There was a lot of squirrels there. They say Dolly Parton actually walked through Dollywood every once in a while.
Speaking
you
of
know,
squirrels,
you might have a Dolly sighting.
That was a big squirrel moment.
If you tell Dolly to go get a squirrel, she'll probably sit down with a guitar and sing it down. Like Cinderella. Be like, hi.
So for once, I'm going to bring us back on topic.
Oh. There's a first time for everything.
Dolly is my golden retriever, or my daughter's golden retriever, but she hangs with me. She's probably outside laying underneath my car right now. But she's a golden retriever, and she definitely has lots of squirrel moments. She actually brought a squirrel home yesterday and traumatized my little girl again.
It's a gift.
Mm-hmm. Look what I found. And she's so proud of it. Her tail's wagging. She just knows she's brought something of value to the house. And we're like, no, you take it off the porch.
Of course. So I figure I have a list of 8 different pricing strategies.
Right.
I'll go through what?
Yeah, I mean, like you were saying, though, in the beginning, everybody starts with the calculations, with the math, the basic math to begin with.
Right. I think that's just your,
But we should probably explain that, because I can't tell you how many times on the forums people are like, hey, I have this 4-ounce bar of soap. How much should I charge for it? And it's like,
yeah,
it's not just, you know,
all the time.
Any 4-ounce bar of soap. Like, you gotta do some calculations here, right?
Yeah, so. what all's in it?
So, all right, so before we even get into pricing, how do you figure out what your cost is? That's the main thing. I mean, you can't figure out pricing until you figure out your cost of goods. Okay. How much did that bar of soap cost you?
Right.
Well, there's a lot of math that goes into that.
Mm-hmm.
I take and I'll look at my most recent invoice of, you know, the different oils that I buy that goes into my soap. And I'll break down my cost per ounce. And then you've got to break down, you know, then I break it down into how much is in each bar and such as that. It takes a minute. There's probably some kind of algebraic equation you could use to do it a lot quicker, but I don't know it.
Yeah.
There are things like on Crafty Base where you can actually put in all your materials, how much you used of each material, and how long it took you, how much you're paying yourself per hour, and how many bars you got out of that batch, or how many, you know, whatever amount of product you got out of that, that can help you with that calculation.
Right. Which basically, and if you're really good at Excel, you could do an Excel spreadsheet where you could put in your price.
And her spreadsheets.
And then you can break it down to per ounce, which is what you do. And then you can have your formula for your soap broken down to how many ounces of each of those go into the bar. And then you include, you know, your packaging and your advertising
and
your
time.
Overhead and your light bill and your electric for the, you know, you have to really break it down how much you're paying yourself per hour. If you have any employees, all of those things, and then calculate how long did it take you to make that particular bar of soap to break down. I mean, if I say I'm paying myself $20 an hour, is it taking me an hour to make one bar of soap? No. An hour to make 100 bars of soap? Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of math in there, but that's the first thing you have to figure out before you figure out what you're going to charge for that bar of soap. First, you have to figure out how much you paid to even get there.
Right. And when I calculate my oils or product going into it, my materials, I go and I calculate based on if I have to restock just that one oil and I buy it and pay for shipping too. So I include the shipping in my cost. And I think a lot of people don't do that. And so you're shortchanging yourself when you don't.
Yeah. You're really shortchanging yourself because you're paying for it. So it's part of the cost of the overall. If I have to pay shipping, it's got to be included in. And that's why when you were saying, you know, sometimes you have to check out your different suppliers because some suppliers will offer free shipping, but they build that free shipping into the price of the product. So you might think, well, they're really expensive, but they have free shipping. Mm-hmm. And then another place might be really, really cheap, but then you're paying for the shipping. You really have to work it out per ounce how much it's coming to figure out which is the best place.
And like I said, I go and I put that one oil in the cart and I calculate shipping just for that one, because you might run out of just one thing at some point and you don't need to buy more of other stuff. So you have to make sure, like, if you restock it, then you're just
talking about just the shipping price on the one product instead of the shipping for an entire order. Yeah, that's what we do too.
And I think that's probably the best way to figure out your per ounce
Okay, so here's what I'll do. I'm going to give you, like, the strategy and then see if you can come up with some kind of an example or, if you know what I mean? All right, so the first one that I can think of, that I have is cost plus pricing, which is where
cost.
You cost.
It's cost. It's cost.
She says cost. I say cost.
How much does it cost?
How much does it cost? Y'all make fun of me all the time.
You can make fun of me. I'm okay. Cost plus pricing is where you add a fixed percent or dollar amount on top of your cost. It's easy to calculate, but it doesn't account for market positioning or perceived value. It's just, you know, this is how much my cost was. Right. I'm going to add a percentage more than that. Give me an example of that.
Like a percentage more?
Mm-hmm.
So like if it cost you cost, not cost.
What I want to hear say, how much does it cost for that cup of coffee?
How much does it cost for a cup of coffee?
Woo, squirrel. Anyway.
It's the little things.
All right. Squirrel. So if your coffee bar cost you $5, right?
$5.
If your coffee bar cost you $5 to make, give me an example of how you would use the cost plus pricing.
Push?
Cost plus pricing.
$5 for one bar of soap?
Mm-hmm.
Cost into one bar of soap, $5.
Yeah.
But first of all, you are.
I just wanted to say $5. All right. So if it costs you $2.20,
right,
to make a bar of soap, what would you, using cost plus pricing, where you just add a fixed percent?
I mean, that's kind of sort of what they recommend anyway, right? So like when they say your cost times 3 or times 4 for your retail price, that's kind of what we're talking about anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that is the traditional pricing strategy that most of us follow.
Right. So if it costs you $2.20,
yeah,
then traditional pricing, you would sell it at?
It'd be $4.80 wholesale and
I think we both just had the same reactions at the same time.
Hang on a minute.
Eight. You were on the right track. 880. Or
960. 960 retail.
All right.
960.
Mm-hmm. 220 cost. Double that for wholesale. Double that for retail.
Hmm.
Okay. But if it was 440 for wholesale, wouldn't it be 880 for retail?
I did 480 times 2, and it told me 9.6. Oh, I did 480 instead of 440. Why not?
Pricing is so easy.
We are a bunch of math geniuses.
Look,
over here.
I have worked all day long, and so my brain is fried.
All right, so then value-based pricing would be you just price based on what you think the product is worth, what you think your customer believes the product is worth.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so the pros of that would be you can have a high potential profit margin, but you really have to have a strong brand and a lot of trust.
And that's a lot of what these premium brands are right there. Mm-hmm. When you go and you see this brand of soap, like I've seen soap bars are like $50 a bar, and you look at the ingredients, you're like, it's marketing.
$50 a bar for soap.
And people pay it because they think they're getting something spectacular.
Well, I mean, think about it. Look at what just happened with the tariffs and with China and how they're on there and they're talking about your luxury brands of handbags and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
They're paying $3 for a handbag and selling it to you for $300. You know, it's all about the perceived value. Or more. Well, yeah. That was just an example off the top of my head. But it's perceived value. If you have a strong brand and your customer is all about that brand, then you can charge more for it.
Right. whether or
I mean,
not
I could
you feel
see
okay
that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could see charging that much. No, I really could not see charging that much for bar soap. Mm-hmm. But it makes me think of like the ladies, or like I've only seen ladies that do the super ornate piped soap tops with the, you know, the soap dough embed mm-hmm. thingamabobs on them and such as that. I mean, I've seen those go for almost $20 a bar, but. Right.
But then those
but
are also very time consuming. And if you're are. Doing mm-hmm. your, if you're yeah. doing your
that's
cost,
justified.
Mm-hmm. If you're pricing yourself out, if you're calculating your cost properly and you're paying yourself for your time, those are of course going to be more because it's just right. taking so much longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, I've run across, I know several that have, that do those types of soaps. And they're not charged enough for them. And I'm like.
No. Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of people don't consider their time mm-mm. when they're pricing themselves, when they're coming up with the cost of goods, because they feel like, well, I like doing it. You know
right.
what I mean? I like doing it. So, you know, I would do it for free. But, yeah, but you know what? You can't eat for free. You can't go to the grocery store and say, well, I like making soap.
They sure don't give you gas for free.
No.
You can't stay in business.
No, not if you want to make this, if you're serious about making this into a business, you have to be serious about calculating your costs properly and paying yourself properly. Next one, mm-hmm. competitive pricing. You mm-hmm. base your price based on what the competitive charge.
Right.
So mm-hmm. it's good marketing alignment, but you could also have the race to the bottom. Well, gosh, she's only charging $5. I know it costs me, you know, if I did the percentage, I should be charging 9. But if she's charging 5, I should probably charge 5. You know, next thing you know, you're both out of business.
Working for peanuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I see that. I mean, I've run across lots of other soap makers that don't charge very much for that soap. And to be honest, when I first started, I was absolutely that soap maker.
I felt that too in the beginning.
They're pricing themselves out of business, and mm-hmm. it's cut and dry. They'll either learn that they've got to price their product where they can make a profit, or they can keep it where they're at, and they're never going to go anywhere with it.
Right. Well, I mean, I feel like it has to be part of your strategy too. You know, you might just be happy having a small little home business and I'm going to keep my prices where they are because, you know, I'm busy right. enough and this is, you know, whatever. But if yeah. you want to expand and move past where you are, get out of your home, get into a warehouse, get into whatever factory, you really have to pay yourself properly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or at least reinvest to expand your business.
Right.
I think for a lot of people too, especially maybe females, there's a confidence issue as well. I know I had a hard time valuing my own soaps higher in the beginning because I was like, it's just me. You know, who am I to charge this price for this soap, right? Even though it's a really good soap and I use really good quality ingredients. And I had to get over that. And my husband actually had to help me get over that hoop. And I think mm-hmm. it's a common issue that you don't value it enough yourself.
Yeah.
And to have the confidence to charge what it's worth. That's why my mom, she was like a professional seamstress, basically self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
And we always tried to get her to sell her stuff. And she said, I'll never get out of it what I think it's worth. And I was
yep.
like, you'd be surprised what people will pay for good quality stuff.
You're absolutely right. It's like my grandmother. Oh,
Margaret,
she was still
okay?
alive. But my grandmother, before she passed, her and my mom would make these really ornate quilts. My mom would cut out the little quilt blocks or whatever, and she would sew them together, you know, get the pattern right. And my grandmother would sit in her recliner with her hoop, and she would double stitch mm-hmm. every stitch, whether it was a baby quilt or a California King quilt. And when my mom started getting involved with her and they would sell these quilts, she was she couldn't believe what Mom would charge for some of those quilts. But, and people would pay it. I'm talking, you know, $2,000 for a king size quilt. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother just thought that was highway robbery. Mm-hmm. But it was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Double hand stitch.
And they're out there still holding together.
Yep. There's a quilt. Well, there used to be a quilt on every bed in our house, but our kids have bought their own stuff. But there's a quilt on my bed. There's a quilt on my couch. I know there's 3 in my closet. And still just trucking.
I love a good quilt.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So the next one is psychological pricing. So like playing with the numbers, like using prices like $9.99 instead of $10 mm-hmm. to appear, make it have the appearance of being less money. Well, it's only $9. It's not $9. It's really $10. But
it's really $10.
We actually tried that in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, I think we did too.
Yeah, I tried that for a while there. And then when we got in our first wholesale place, they just did everything straight up dollars. And I was actually looking and it says psychological pricing like $24.95 instead of $25. But luxury products, you know, if you're selling yourself off as a luxury brand, they like nice round numbers, not that.
Right. So yeah, that's funny because the next thing I was going to say, well, first of all, let me finish that out, was some psychological pricing could be proven to, it improves conversion, but it can feel gimmicky if you overuse it, right? Mm-hmm. But then my next thing that I was going to talk about was the luxury pricing. But so they do like round numbers and uh-huh. and because it's just, you know, that aesthetic, that vibe, that, you know, it creates exclusivity. You can set a high price just to position as a luxury brand, but you have to have that brand loyalty and recognition and trust. Uh-huh. You have to have really strong branding for you to do that.
Right. Just like you said, like all those luxury purse brands and shoe brands and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They have the name.
I bet it costs like $5 to make a pair of Air Jordans, and they charging like what, $500 for them dudes?
Yeah, right.
I don't even know what Nikes cost now. I don't wear them things. And hey, dudes,
now that everybody knows what kind of shoes we wear,
Ultra,
you could totally sponsor me. I would not be have my feelings hurt at all.
I would love to get into some Hey Dudes. I got to get myself some Hey Dudes.
Hey Dudes are awesome.
John has like 6 pair.
I love them.
Then there's bundle pricing, right? Mm-hmm. So selling things as sets, you know, 3 soaps for $25 or something like that. That encourages people to buy more.
I can attest to that because I have recently listed bundles on my website, my TikTok shop, and they are going.
Mm.
Like, for instance, I've got the one of my more recent ones that I've listed. I call it the Citrus and Sass Ladies Bundle or whatever. It's 4 bars of soap. They retail individually for $8 a piece. So that's what, $32? Yeah. If they just bought them each individually, I've got them listed for like $29, $28, $29, and they're going.
I gotta do that.
Repeat that again. How many bars of soap?
Four,
and that's $28.
So it's basically a dollar off 3 of the bars.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But people, it's money off.
People love it.
It encourages more purchases, but sometimes it can devalue a single product. You know what I mean? Well, you got a 3 for $25. Can't I just get 1 for $7? No,
you can't.
No way.
No, you can't. If you want to go buy an individual, if you want to buy that 1 bar soap and pay more in shipping than the actual bar soap, you go right ahead. Because I've got flat rate shipping.
Yeah, I think that's only something that people do to small businesses, too. Like, you're not going to go into Bath & Body Works and say, like, oh, you've got 5 for $5. Mm-hmm. Can I buy 1 for $5? They'll be like, no. It's 5 for $5 or nothing, right? So
That's right.
But I think, you know, people will try to get wily with small businesses. And I think some small businesses, they'll think, well, it's a sale. So yeah, I'll do that. And
no, it's like, I think, you know, at markets and such as that, I will and deal if they like come up like, hey, I want to buy 10 bars of soap. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But I will, you know, but one bar of soap. No, it's $8. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What about introductory pricing? Like you start low.
Yeah.
And
then I've actually considered doing that, like new product, come out with like low pricing in the beginning, and then it's going to be this price until this time.
You get faster customer growth, but
I will typically do that around Christmas time when I do my limited release soaps. Mm-hmm. You know, like my Christmas soaps, I'll like, you know, for launch day, for launch weekend, you know, they're all going to be like 20% off or something, you know, Friday evening through Sunday night. And then after that, they go back
and
up.
And you say that? You say, hey, for the first week, it's going to be this price, and then it's going up? Okay.
Yep. And I typically sell a lot of them. Yes.
Yeah. Good. That's well, it, you know, it's...
It's just, it incentivizes... Incentives... Shoot.
It's incentivizing.
That one, yes.
And it's fear of missing out, too. Like, exactly. Oh, my goodness, if I don't get it now.
Right. I'll get it while it's cheaper. You know, if I procrastinate, it's going to go up in price.
Well, I mean, if you look at it from the customer's perspective, we've all got those loyal customers. And they know, you know, you send out your emails and such that, like, well, I know that this is going to be on sale then, and I know I'm going to buy, you know, such and such amount at Christmas time.
Right.
I may as well do it right now when it's on sale.
Right.
Right.
You know, that way you get rid of a lot of soap at once, and they're a loyal customer, and they get a discount. It helps them out. And if you're like me, you got those that order very regularly, you're going to throw something a little extra in there because they order a lot and they've stuck with you.
What about freemium or sampling strategy? Like get one, you know, buy one, get one free, or really low cost, like sample sizes. And
I have done the buy one, get one half off and such as that. And I think I did it once, like 3 years ago. And, or I tried to do it and I couldn't get it to work right on my website, so I abandoned it. So I couldn't get it to work.
I like it because it, go ahead.
We're trying to set up right now, and this is part of what having a team that fixes websites is good for. We're trying to set up right now where, like, when you put something in the cart, it starts to suggest bundles for you, like, get this and this for cheaper than you would if you bought them individually. So we're trying to get the website set up to do that, like give you suggestions if you buy all these together.
Like add-ons and stuff.
Yeah. But if you get it cheaper, if you add this on with this product, like if you bundle all these together, you're going to get this cheaper price.
Right.
We're trying to get the website set up to do that. So I don't have to like create bundles and set those aside as a separate product, but I'm probably still going to do that.
Yeah.
And it's the same kind of thing.
It gets people in the door when you have the sample sizes and the buy one, get one and all that kind of stuff. It does. But you kind of have to have a way to convert those to our now. I like it. Now I'm going to go buy to the, you know, move on to that. I don't want to just, so a lot of people will just only shop the buy one, get ones or only, you know, get the sample size stuff and they won't move on to the bigger sale. So.
Right.
It's hard to.
And also that sample size stuff is more effort and more cost per ounce or whatever that you're making because it costs more effort and packaging and whatever else. So.
I have 3 racks over there with sample size bars in them. They've been there for every bit of 4 months. I have yet to package them up.
Wow.
What's a pain?
Because I know it's going to be a pain in the butt. And I'm not really sure. My thing is do I really want to start the sample sets and then them catch on?
Now, I have my bestseller pack that I do that has like 7 different bars in it. But I made the soap specifically for it, and the packaging is super simple. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not individually wrapped and everything. And I have just, like, a little sticker on the inside of the package that tells you this colored soap is this scent.
Or yeah, I have a tray of sample size, natural, like, no fragrance. Like, I want to make a sample. My intention was to make a sample size pack of the naturals that we make. Mm-hmm. And I never got around to making like two of them. When I made the soaps, I forgot to cut the sample sizes and whatever. So it's been sitting there, and I'm like, now I really do have to just wrap it and get it out there. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work to do the little sample size.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot of work. And you know, that your average, like, I've had so many people comment, do you sell sample sets? No. But I've had a lot of requests.
So I'm going to ask, how did each one of you how did you come up with your current prices? Like, are you using one of these strategies? What exactly are you doing? Start with Shauna.
I did the calculation at first and did the times thing. But then on top of that, we got that pricing. Like, this is our minimum pricing. But then we look at the market and what's available out there, what's comparable, what people are paying. And then on top of that, we kind of bill ourselves as more of a luxury brand. And so we got that psychology of pricing in there, right? Like, people perceive it to be better whenever your pricing is higher. And if you lower the price too much, they're going to perceive it to not be. So we started with, like, you know, figuring out the cost, multiplying that up, and this is minimum what we're going to do. But also, we did at one point, and that was one of the things I saw here, is like, we raised our prices, we raised everything up by a dollar at one point so that we could do things like get the soap boxes and things like that to move the brand forward. And we were transparent about it. We didn't apologize. We just said, just so you know, at this point in time, the prices are all going to go up by a dollar for everything so that we can do these things and move forward in the future.
Well, I mean, if you are making a big upgrade like that, when you're moving from a cigar band to a box, that's a substantial increase in your cost of goods. So you have to reflect that in your pricing.
Right.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, so we did the calculations and then put in some of the psychology of perception from the public.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Jesse?
Well, mine was kind of more of a gradual type thing. I started off, I think when I first started actually selling my soaps, I had them for like $5 a bar, you know, when I was doing like 2-3 pounds at a time. And what made me go up on my pricing was when I started actually wholesaling my products. And then I realized I'm like $2.50 a bar. And then I went back and I did my math. I said, I'm profiting 30 cents a bar. It's not gonna work. So then I decided, I said, okay, where do I need to be to make, you know, to have my cost covered plus make that same amount in my pocket? And I did my math. I said, okay, so then I went up to like $7.50 a bar or $7 a bar. And just since then, as I've gotten overhead and things cost more, as prices went up, I've just inched up a little bit, enough to where I can still make somewhat the same profit margin, but to where I'm not charging an arm and a leg for a bar of handmade soap as well. It's a balancing act.
Right.
You got to figure out what you can sell, what you can make a profit for, but people are still going to buy.
Exactly. And my demographic, like Shauna was talking about her demographic, like, they portray themselves as like a luxury brand. I'm more of a handcrafted soap for hardworking folks type brand. You know, I cater more to the average everyday American, you know, that's not going to be looking for a luxury product, you know. So my prices have got to stay a little lower.
Right.
More blue collar. And
it's so funny because we're all three so different. Like, you're the, and then I feel like I gear more towards, like, your mom, who are looking to, you know, get some safe soap for their kids. And, you know, I do a lot of colorful stuff too, but that's, you know, for the, just my fun. and right, the fragrance exactly. And this, and mine is the, you know, the naturals and the no scented, and let me put this milk in there and that ingredient, blah, 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 whatever. So we all, we're so very different in our.
So I actually looked up some talking points before this. And so what I was talking about earlier, just interestingly, I saw this on this thing, is talking about, I was talking about a lot of people underpriced because they're not confident. And this actually says that imposter syndrome, like we spoke about several episodes ago. But you got to also remember, you're not just charging for your time and materials. You're charging for expertise. Like,
yep, your knowledge.
We've all been making soap for so long. We know how to make it. We know how to make it right. And we know how to make it safe. So mm-hmm. you got to remember sometimes that you're paying for that expertise.
Exactly.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. it's like when you're hiring a contractor, like you've recently mm-hmm. done.
Yeah.
You know, you don't necessarily go for the lowest bidder, Joe Blow, right. that can give you the best price. You're mm-hmm. paying for that experience. You're right. paying for the people that he's hired, their experience. You're mm-hmm. paying for the quality of his tools, how accurate they are. Mm-hmm. You're paying for all of those.
For his education.
Exactly.
For the school that he went to learn the trade that he's doing. I feel like we undervalue ourselves because a lot of what we do is self-taught.
Right.
Yeah, right. So like, we didn't go to school for this. We legit learned on YouTube and my bookworm over there reading books.
Yeah. Right. So I feel like that's something that definitely undercuts our value.
Yeah. In our own heads.
In our own heads. And, exactly. And I feel like not just all in our own heads, because I feel like, you know, the people on the other side of the counter are, oh, yeah, okay, would you watch a YouTube video and now you're selling soap? You know, that kind of stuff.
Right, but we've been doing it long mm-hmm. enough. And I think when we tell our stories, it also comes across, like, telling your story is a big part of selling your product and your brand, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think whenever people understand our stories, they understand that we actually care about putting, we're not just like doing this just for the money. We care about putting out a good product and mm-hmm. we care about the safety. Like, we see things and we see people do stuff and we're just like, oh, don't, no,
why
don't
are
do that.
You doing that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And like, oh gosh, I'm not buying from them because they don't know what they're doing. You know, that
right.
kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I always say, if you've bought bad soap, go to a different place. Go to a different soaper. Try somebody else. Give mm-hmm. somebody else a try, because we're not, you
don't
know,
just say it's
different.
All handmade soap, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. Just because you had a bad experience with handmade soap, don't mean they're all like that.
Right.
So I asked how you came up with your current prices, and you both kind of answered my next couple of questions, which were, have you ever raised your prices? You both have. Mm-hmm. How did your customers react, though? Yours were fine,
yep.
too?
They're fine.
Not yep. a problem, right?
I didn't have any issues.
And my next question after that was, have you ever underpriced yourself and regretted it? And you both, yep.
Yep.
We're ahead of the game, Shauna.
Yeah, you're...
We've been through it all.
Star students.
First time I've ever had that.
I'm going to give you a sticker.
Is it a squirrel sticker?
Do you, or have you ever felt guilty about your prices?
Yeah, I
think that's part of the imposter syndrome thing.
That's what I was just going to say. It's part of that imposter syndrome.
Well, you know, you sit there and you tell yourself, I mean, these folks can go somewhere, most of them go to Walmart, and especially uh-huh. with the economy the way it is right now, and people are so strapped for cash, you know, mm-hmm. you're sitting there going, you know, people can go buy a whole 12-pack of green soap.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all proud of me? I didn't say the name brand.
Mm-hmm.
For like, what, I don't even know what it costs now, like $20,
couldn't
something like that.
You.
And, you know, here they can go to my website and 3 bars of soap and they're $24 in. You know, it'll make you feel guilty, but then you got to think about what they're actually getting.
Right.
You know, that.
And what they're doing to their skin, too.
Exactly. That bar of soap that they get from the big box store, I mean, it's horrible on your skin. I mean, it's terrible. And they're over fragranced, most of them. And you've got a handcrafted, like, you cared enough to put the time and the research into your product, and you know it's a great product. Yeah, it's more expensive, but it's worth it in the long run.
Right.
But it's, you know, you do feel guilty, especially the way the economy's been, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about, have you ever felt guilty?
Me?
Shauna?
Mm-hmm. I can't tell where you're looking.
Yeah,
yeah, oh. I have. Yeah. Same kind of thing. I have, but then I kind of get over that by looking at the pricing of other brands.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel bad, but then I go and look and I say, like, I know my product is good.
Yeah.
They're mm-hmm. paying this for this other product.
And I know I'm using good quality ingredients.
Right,
and I know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
And I'm being careful and taking care of my customers. So.
Right. All right. So we talked about how packaging and branding and presentation affect the perceived value, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about the emotional side of pricing. We talked about imposter syndrome. We talked about fear. Have we talked about fear of rejection? Like people just going to look at you and be like, psh, no, you're not worth that. I'm not paying $10 for a bar of soap. Are you crazy?
No, we hadn't talked about it.
No? Mm-hmm. Have either of you felt that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have definitely. And when I do my craft events, I always drop my prices, like, across the board.
That was my next thing to say.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that way I can tell my customers, I'm like, you know, there's $7 a bar here at this event. If you wait to order in there, but, you know, you'll have some like, oh, I'll order from you online. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But
online,
if you wait, it's going to cost you $8 a bar instead of $7 a bar today.
And shipping.
And shipping.
Yeah.
Unless they do the local pickup, you know.
I haven't done the different prices in person yet. Because the last time I did my market was before I heard you talk about that. And I'm like, wow, that's genius. Why wouldn't I do that? That's craziness. So we shall see if it works this year.
Now, what about... you do that at the market, Jesse, do you have like a, when you're putting it in the computer, do you have a coupon code that you use, or do you just drop the prices on your website?
No, I do, I go through Shopify and I enter it as a custom sale. And I just put how much that sale is. And no, it doesn't pull it from the inventory or anything like that, but I go back and I just update everything after that. Update my inventory, so... That's how I do it.
I think there might be a way, if you're creating an order on Woo, if you can like change the pricing while you're there, but it's probably slow.
There's a way to do it with Shopify. I just haven't had enough time to play with the POS system that hooks my website to actually figure out how to do that.
We just go right through Stripe and put in the total for the order.
Oh, so it doesn't take your inventory either.
Doesn't take my
inventory. Yeah, so that's I basically do the same thing.
Yeah.
So the only live events I've done, I've actually gone through the website and put everything in there, so it takes out the inventory.
Yeah. No. I didn't. We don't do that. I don't have that capability.
Yes, you do.
We just came to.
Miss Technology teacher over here.
I know. I'd have to actually look through it and do stuff. What about how inflation and market trends and material costs change that? Do you change your prices when the market goes up? Like when prices in the market
I try not to.
You mean like if your materials go up?
Mm-hmm.
I keep them at low as long as I physically can.
Yeah.
Like when prices started going up 4 years ago, I tried to keep my soaps at $7.50 a bar for as long as I could stand it. Mm-hmm. And when it just wasn't feasible to do it, I bumped them on up. And, you know, like you said, Shauna, when you got in your boxes, when my boxes come in, prices will go up. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got to, you know.
Right.
So how does it feel to just put them in boxes instead of having to wrap them with the cigar bands now?
I was actually moving some of them from the cigar bands to the boxes last night, and it just it's so nice. Like, you just fold the box, you throw it in there, And then, of course, mine are such that I have labels on them to indicate what it is. But it feels something like, I mean, just the look difference. I mean, gosh, come on. Like, which one feels more upscale right there?
Oh, yeah, definitely the box one.
Yeah. So, it feels good.
That's awesome. It feels good.
And it's also nice that they're, like, they all stack up nicely like this.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
You'll be there shortly.
Nice. We got the sweetest email from a listener recently. Hi, Jessica. We won't say your business name. Don't worry. And she had a brilliant idea. She suggested that we start a segment where new or struggling small businesses can send us their social media, their websites, or even just tell us what they're working on, and we take a look at it and give honest, constructive feedback. Kind of like a mini business audit from the Dirty Heifers. And we love the idea. We decided to make it a regular segment called... Farm Fresh Feedback. Each time, we'll feature a business, sometimes anonymously, sometimes with a shout out, and offer some real talk, some actionable advice, and a little encouragement to help them grow. So whether you're stuck on how to boost engagement, not seeing any online sales, or just wondering if your branding is hitting the mark, send us a message. You might just be featured on an upcoming episode of Farm Fresh Feedback. Because, listen, none of us started out knowing what we were doing. We've all made mistakes. We've tried weird things. We've had flops. This is just one more way we can support each other in this wild world of small business. And that wraps up another episode of The Dirty Heifers. We hope today's deep dive into pricing has helped you rethink how you value your time, your products, and your business. A huge thanks to our sponsor, Country Lather Soapworks, for supporting today's show. Don't forget to check out Jesse's amazing soaps at countrylathersw.com. And if you love this episode, please rate us and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Share us on your socials and tag your favorite soap makers, crafters, and small business friends. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Next week, we're going to get real and a little vulnerable. The topic is, no one talks about this part, the lonely or hidden sides of being a small business owner. You won't want to miss it because we're pulling back the curtain to the stuff that nobody tells you about when you go into business for yourself. Until next time, stay dirty, heifers.